Well, good evening. It's good to see many here, children included. I thought perhaps we're going to sing two children's hymn first, if that's okay with you. And then we'll sing one for the adults. And let me suggest one. In the back of the hymn sheet, hymn number 40, I believe every child here should know that. Let's sing the first and the second verse of hymn number 40. The second hymn I'd like to sing is number 42. Many of you know that's one of my favorite. It's a short hymn, but you have to sing it my way. We sing that hymn twice. The first time around, we sing it the way it is. The second time around, we change just a couple of words in there because I believe this hymn includes all children of all ages. So the second time around, we'll sing a little child of 70. I like that as I'm getting close to that number. So number 70 looks good. And then the second verse will sing, or even 34. And I think some of you could be around that age. We got that? Ready?
Let's
I enjoy that hymn because not only we can sort of relate to it, that all in this room, old or young, can relate to it, whether you are 70 or 7 or 3 or 4. And the way of salvation is simple because God knows our stubborn heart. We sang this here. How can we be saved? He says, for when the heart, not the head, but the heart believeth on Christ, the Son of God. Oh, you know, in this world, a lot of people say, I believe in Jesus. There are people even say, I got proof that I wear the cross. But do they believe on the same Jesus that we will be preaching tonight? The Jesus who is the Son of God, the one who came into this world, born as a man, gone through manhood so that he can taste death for every man. The one who gone through manhood without sin. I know the children here, they can be little baby that we say, look how innocent they are. Yet we know they, well, for lack of a better word, I say, they all have an opinion. They have an opinion of what things should be. The moment they are born, they're out there to train the parents of how things ought to be. And you're smiling because you have children. You know, if they know they can get away with things, they will. Because the Word of God tells us that they were born in sins. We were all born in sins and shapen in iniquity. For there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We just had a new grandchild. He's 3 months old. We can see that when he wants something, the tempers start to flare. That's our nature, isn't it? The sin. We were born with sin. But how precious here that the Word of God is simple. As the Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, they said to him, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Simple question. Is there anyone in this room tonight is seeking a way of salvation? Are you one of the one that is asking that same question? What must I do to be saved? And we know the answer. We all learned it in Sunday school, at least most that I can recognize in this room. We can easily say that verse, believe. Believe what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Precious verse, isn't it? You know, I like that verse because that verse doesn't just end there. You look it up, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, comma. Interesting, isn't it? The statement's not completed. And thine house. Our precious Savior delight to bless family. Oh, when we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, whether we are 3 or 4, there are blessings. Not only for you to be saved from the wrath to come, but that the Lord's promises and thine house. So I trust that a simple message that perhaps even the younger one are able to take home with. I know this meeting is not geared for children, as if the Lord leave us here till tomorrow, we'll have a Sunday school that are more geared for children. But nevertheless, thank you, children, for attending this meeting, and that this is for you too, isn't it? I'd like to share a story before I go to the portion that I want to turn into. Two different stories, and I don't even remember who I talked with yesterday. This young sister said to me, they got here finally. I said, oh, you should have followed a GPS. And she said, we did. We still got lost. I said, the GPS doesn't work? No, it's me. How many of us have the guided word of God that we carried in our hand? And perhaps you too will say, well, it doesn't work. Is it because the word of God doesn't work? Or can we be honest and say that it's me? And I trust that tonight, as we open the word of God, that we would listen and hear what God has for you. Then I'll share another story with you. I know, and some of you may have the same experience, my children always say, don't talk about me. We get complained like that all the time. So tonight, I have a 4-year-old grandson here. I don't think he understands if I talk about him. So I'll talk about a little story on the way here. This is his first trip here. He was all excited that he can come with us. The only problem was, half an hour into the trip, this is about a 6-hour drive, and we had about an hour delay at the U.S.-Canadian border, so that was more than 7 hours, plus lunch, plus, well, little kids' breaks. It was a long trip. And we have forgotten, as our kids are growing, that phrase, are we there yet? Some of you still remember that, right? Are we there yet? We heard that many times over. Excited about coming here because we told him a little bit about what he can do and play. About 3 hours into the trip, he said, I want to go back to your house. I tell you that story because do we find we do that because we thought we found someone or something better, but then because we didn't search it out, because we didn't look hard enough to see what that better is, we want to go back to your house because something we're comfortable with. But yet, there is something far better than we can see or expect. So we're going to sing one more hymn, just one stanza, to build that thought. Hymn number 24. Perhaps we'll just sing the first verse only, then we'll go into our reading. Hymn number 24, verse 1 only. Perhaps someone can help me start that hymn. Before us, the last 2 days, the book of Ephesians. What a wonderful book. And I would like you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I know some of you might say, well, we've been in this book for a while, but this is a wonderful book. And as a side comment, I'll challenge you. I see many young people sitting in the back there. Learn the book of Ephesians. Learn it to the point where you can expound what is chapter 1 about. How is the book divided? You know, we had the privilege of going through chapter 6. And we had the privilege, as some told us, the difference, the walk that we have. So I won't spend the time on it, but I'll give you a hint on that. The book begins by addressing to the faithful, to the saints and faithful. And they give you a hint that there are two thoughts for the book. The first 3 chapters that we didn't take up is in regard to those who are called saints. But we are. It's not 2 different categories of people, but The second part of the book is how do we walk as faithful. Chapter 4, and as I think a brother tried to tell us the difference the other day. So let's begin with Ephesians 1. Let me preface this. And Brother Tim was telling a story how someone else spoke on this book, and as he told the story, he go, "Oh boy, I hope he didn't read my notes." And I go, "Well, I don't have any notes, so he couldn't read my notes." But I think it's a wonderful chapter. My thought tonight was the story I told you, how someone would say, "I want to go back to your house." Part of that reason is because we don't know what to expect at the new place, do we? So rather than often we preach, urging you the need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, I'd like to change the tone a little bit to share with you what is it like to be His? What is it like to be redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? What are the blessings that we have been talking about? And if you are paying attention, we talk about a lot of these already, but I think it's good that we talk about it again. You know, it's interesting, I made a comment to someone this afternoon. I had a visit with an older brother recently, far away from here, maybe a few thousand miles away. He said to me, he said, "I don't know what's wrong with the young people today." I go, "Oh, how's that?" He said, "We have to tell them things over and over again. They don't seem to get it." I looked at him, I go, "Are you talking about me?" He said, no, I'm talking about the young people." I said, "I think you're talking about me." He goes, "No, I'm not." I said, "Well, I want to be honest." I said, "You may be speaking, and I may be looking back at you with a smile, but I'm not there." Do we find that? So sometimes you might say, we talk about that, but you have to remember there are times that people like me that is not there. So it's good, isn't it, to repeat the word of God. Hopefully, we trust that when it's repeated at the right moment that you are with us. And here, this is in regard to your salvation. This is in regard to eternity, not just one meeting where you learn something or not. So let's see the blessings that maybe you already know. Or perhaps for some of you, he said, "I didn't know that, and I trust that you would want to learn." Perhaps we'll use it in another phrase. We're sharing with you family secrets. Isn't that neat to know? Right? I know a lot of young people will go, "Oh, secrets. That get my attention. I want to know." Now, of course, if it's a real secret, I can't tell you. Because if I tell you, then it's no longer a secret. So the Word of God used the word mystery. So sometimes we say, well, it's like a secret. But no, not really a secret, because once you learn it, it's no longer a secret. It's just that it wasn't talked about much. So before I go in, let me give you the example. So was the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ a secret to the Jewish nation? No, I'm sure you can think of many passages in the Old Testament that talk about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about His suffering on the cross? Can you think of passages that talk about that? Well, if so, it's not a secret. But then there are things, we're going to read that in a minute, that are not mentioned in the Old Testament. That, in a sense, is a mystery until you learn it. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just read a few verses and we talk about it briefly. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's an introduction to this book that is from God the Father. is from our Lord Jesus Christ. How important now is this letter to you? And as we work through it, as we go through it, it is also telling us the work of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it precious to see the Trinity is at work? Yes, we can say, well, this book is church truth, giving us this highest truth as if it were. But yet, it's also a book to tell us the blessing we receive as a redeemed person. And then if we have time into the second chapter, draw the analogy to see how we have no part with God's work. We were alienated from Him. But yet, because of grace, we're brought into blessing. Isn't that a wonderful secret that was kept? It's good for us. So, just to preface it with time, we find, I'm going to read verses 4 to verse 6 together. And as I preface that, this, as we read it, is telling us, what has God done? What has God done for you? Let's read that. I don't think we even need much explanation. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Rather long, but there are three things we want to sum up quickly because of time here, that we find God has done something very special for us. In verse 4, it says, He has chosen us. Did you know that? You were chosen before the foundation of this world. God Himself has chosen you before the foundation of the world. To be without blame, to be holy, to be like Himself before the foundation of the world. Verse 5 said, and predestinated. Now, that word predestination is a little bit difficult to understand. I like the new translation used the word. You have been marked out. You know, I heard there's a list for you to do things, right? Can you picture someone said, I'm going to mark out those that have to do the dishes three times more than the other one. Right? That's what marking out is. We pick those names. The Lord have picked your name. You are marked out way before unto the adoption, unto sonship. Now you find the adoption of children, the word children is not there in the New Translation. It's just the adoption of the proper translation is in the place of a son. Wow. Did you know that? Did you know that? God beforehand. Not sometimes man would think of predestination and say, yeah, this guy is predestinated to go to hell. That's a terrible thought, and I do not believe anywhere in Scripture that mention predestinating to hell. But we have been predestinated to sonship. So three things he owe, and it is according to His good pleasure, to be the praise of His glory. And then He said, then because of that, we're found to be accepted in the Beloved. Now, let's look at something here. What did we have to do to get all this? I don't see a condition here. It's God's grace, isn't it? That we have been chosen. We've been marked out as a son and accepted in the Beloved. The grace of God. Before you were even born. Now, let's look at another portion, verse 7 to verse 12. Now, this is talking about the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did He do? Because we see the Godhead, the Trinity is at work for our blessing. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence or intelligence, having made known unto us the mystery. Oh, that word mystery pops up here now. The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, that he hath purpose in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who trusted in Christ. Oh, the Son of God, the Son who shed his blood in order to redeem you, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that a big issue, that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And we know from reading of the scripture, the Sunday school, a gospel meeting, we learn that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we find that because of his finished work on the cross, because he came to die for sinful man, he came to do God's will. We find in the book of Hebrews, he would say, I come to do thy will, O God. No one else can say that, to come and do the Father's will. And so we find the work of the Lord Jesus for us there, that that we have redemption because of his finished work. And then he came and he made known of a mystery. What is this mystery? The mystery that he will free the Gentiles, that he's going to make the Gentiles to be part of the one body. It's interesting as you go through the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians too, that the body of Christ is mentioned many times. There is one body. We don't separate the two from the gospel to the breaking of the bread, because there is one body. He died so that we can be part of that one body. And we have an inheritance that he has given us. Now, I'm going to skip ahead. Now, verse 13, verse 14, it tells us now the work of the Spirit of God, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Oh, we are to be the praise of his glory. Now, it's interesting to see that too here in verse 12, we ended it previously, it says, who trusted in Christ? Who is that we should also be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ? Brethren, how many of us here have first trusted in Christ? Or are we in the situation in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Precious, isn't it, to see the two different categories of people, as if it were, those who first trusted. That's the Jewish nation, isn't it? They trusted. And then we, Gentiles, after the gospel was presented to us, we too trusted in Christ. And because of the work of the Spirit, it says, we are sealed. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we have even given that as an earnest, as if there's a deposit saying that you are His. And that we are to be the praise of His glory. Now, I skip a lot of things there because of time. It's precious to read through that. And then we find here that that the apostles' prayer raised those questions. It's good for you to read through. I'll leave that for now. I'd like to go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 reminds us of the conditions that we were in. What were we by nature? Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do we see that? That's our conditions. Before we were saved, the Word of God looked at it and said, you were dead. You were in trespasses of sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you recall we talk about a lot of this power of darkness? We talk about the enemy, Satan, the devil, the dragon, and so on. Yeah. Now we see He is the prince of the power of this air. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. As we read this, does it remind you of someone? Can you look across the room and picture someone who were in this category of people who were in trespasses against God with no part, walking in the lusts of the flesh? Perhaps you look across, perhaps you should look at the person next to you and you go, I wonder if it's that person. Or perhaps we can't do this in this room. Perhaps we should pick up a mirror and look into the mirror and see, is the Word of God talking about me? And I have to say, with my head's bowed, those were my conditions. And I think many in this room would be able to say that that was us. Sad, isn't it? No parts. We were by nature children of wrath. Let's go to verse 4. What did God do? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Oh, what a wonderful picture here. God, who is rich in mercy. How rich was His mercy? We know God is a righteous God. God cannot have sin in His presence. So how can He reconcile sinful man to be in His presence? Oh, that's when the redemption work has to be done. A price has to be paid, that we have to be redeemed to be back into His presence, that He sent His Son, that we read earlier on, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. How precious to know that. Even though we were vile, as vile as we were, we're now new creature in Christ by believing that God sent His Son to die for me. What do you have to do? There's nothing to do. It's a hymn we sometimes sing. There is nothing to buy. It is simply by believing that God sent His Son. The work of redemption has been accomplished. And all we, for lack of a better word, to do is to accept the fact that our sins are forgiven because of the work. So verse 7 tells us that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. In verse 8 and 9, we often have those that memorize. Our brother said, you know, it's good to memorize verses. And I look at our brother Bob and say, yeah, brother Bob, you're getting older. But I look at myself and say, yeah, me too. I'm having trouble memorizing verses. So I will echo the same sentiment to you younger ones. Remember, try to memorize the verses when you're younger. It will be very handy as you're going along the path of life. So let's read that verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God's grace. What have you done to deserve that? We don't. We haven't. But it's the grace of God that we are saved. And nothing to do with yourself. Not of yourself. It's a gift. What do you have to do to receive a gift? You say, thank you. But then the next verse, I find it very fascinating for me. Because that verse, as we read this in the gospel sense, it says, lest any man should boast. Because you can't save yourself. We can't even save our children or grandchildren. Because the salvation that you have to be, it would be between you and the Lord. It's not of works. Why? Because if I can do something about it, I will. I don't know how many of you have this problem. I have this problem that I don't like to let go. I would say, yeah, there's one more thing I can try. We try, we struggle, and there's one more thing I can try. We find that here it says when it comes to salvation, it's not of works. Don't bother trying. It won't work. Why? Because if I can do it, then I can say, I did it. It's not the work of God. So it says, lest any man should boast. Let me take the liberty to expand this application. I believe even with our Christian lives, we need to take that. It's not of works. Because if we can find a way to work around our lives to be better, especially spiritual lives, then we can boast about what, look what I have done. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Just a couple more verses. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that when ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I know I crisscrossed the thought. I began by saying, I'm going to show you the inside secrets. So for many of us here who are
His.
Who has been redeemed by the precious blood? We are reminded with these phrases, aren't we? That we were, in times past, we're just Gentiles in the flesh. That we were without Christ, being an outsider from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, and as if that wasn't enough, without hope, without God in the world. Pretty desperate comment, isn't it? How many in this world are in despair? Why are they in despair? Because they have no hope. You may have read stories of people that are in distress, perhaps prisoner of war, so someone in dire situation, and most stories that I read is that they survive because they hope. They have hope either to be somewhere or see the loved ones. Hope keep things alive. But it says here, without hope. If you are without Christ, what hope do you have? Do you hope that it will be a better tomorrow? Can you hope the sun may shine again tomorrow? You can. If it does, then what? Still in the same despair. Without hope. Why are there so many suicide in this society? No hope. Nothing more to live for. Men would think by taking their lives so they don't face any more problems. But here it tells us even more, without God. Oh, not only do you have no hope if you don't have the Lord Jesus, without God. God is not mocked. Where will you spend eternity? The world is trying to deny that there is a God. But you know, the funny thing is, when it comes to time of trouble, they cry for God. Without hope, without God in the world. Oh, how precious. Dear friends, if you are still lost in your sins, we presented the way of salvation. The gospel message was presented to you last night. It is presented to you tonight that Christ Jesus is the Savior for sinners. By believing, you can be saved. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, by believing that He came into the world, not just to save the world, but to save you as sinners. But let me speak from the sense that what I believe many in this room would echo as redeem one. The saints, as the chapter begins with, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain a new man, so making peace. Oh, He tells us that we become a new creature in Christ because He has shed His blood for us. Brother Tim, I hope you don't mind me quoting you. He said, a brother talked about this. And then he abruptly stopped. I don't know if I did that. If I did, it's not intentional. But all I can exhort you is, receive Christ. Christ is the Savior for sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. if you reject this offer, there may not be a second chance. As I look across the room tonight, some of you don't quite recognize, but when I take a good hard look, I remember you from a few years back. You just have grown a little older, a little bit bigger. So I believe that almost everyone here have heard of the way of salvation. Whether the speaker tonight or last night did or didn't present it clearly, you know what the answer is from the Word of God. You are responsible to God. Where would you spend eternity if you were taken home tonight? And I know our time is gone. Let me just take the liberty to address many who are here. The events around us is telling us the Lord's return is so ever near. Do you still think you have time to delay it? Oh, do not delay, my dear friends. My young people, eternity, where you must acknowledge that before God.